This is the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Discover how to enhance your reputation as an attorney and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.
Hello, this is Tracy Murda with Speakeasy Marketing. I have a special guest today joining me, attorney Jessica Markham of Markham Law Group, a leading family law firm in Maryland and Washington, D.C. Welcome, Jessica. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Tracy. Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to get, I'm kind of doing a series, if you will, on female attorneys and what it's like, what challenges you face. So I was just wondering, tell me a little bit about your upbringing, what your early career goals look like as a young girl, maybe as a teen, and then when you entered college.
Okay. Really, I took kind of a circuitous path to being an attorney and sort of fell into family law. When I was growing up, I was just a really big reader, and I didn't really think too much about exactly what I wanted to do. And then in high school, I was really big into photography, and I thought for a while I wanted to be a photographer, and then I thought an artist's life was just a little bit too scary for me. I didn't really want to be a starving artist or be traveling as a photojournalist, so I ended up just being an English major in college, and I knew I didn't want to teach, so it was just too difficult for me. So not knowing what I was going to do with my English degree, I ended up going to law school. And then from that point on, you know, I was never really sure exactly what I wanted to do with my law degree, but I went to a school that had a really big emphasis on litigation, University of Miami Law School, and they gave us a lot of really hands-on, good litigation experience. So I ended up sort of falling into family law at that point.
So that kind of sold you on it, huh?
Yeah.
Now, Jessica, did you ever have any, I would say, I don't know, apprehensions about going into law where, I mean, primarily it's been always known as a really male-dominated field?
I didn't really. I mean, I think that my, where I'm from, Montgomery County, Maryland, which is right outside Washington, D.C., there were always a lot of examples for me of professional women. My mother wasn't really super career focused, but there were obviously lots of powerful women all around me. So I never really considered the fact that it wouldn't be completely natural and normal for me to go into law. I'm not sure, but I think that right now law school enrollment might be close to 50-50. Maybe you know better than I do. But I do know that in this area, it seems to be quite a bit of family law attorneys that are women. So it's not, at least for family law in where I practice, it's not unusual to be a woman. What I will say is that most of the law firms seem to be owned by men or have mostly men as partners. So I do think that it is somewhat unique to have a woman-owned law firm and more rare for sure.
Well, tell me a little bit about that because obviously, you know, venturing out on your own, opening your own firm, that's risky in any business. What made you decide to go ahead and do that versus, you know, maybe just joining a larger law firm?
I actually, it's a great question. So I was with another firm for 10 years, and there was one other woman and four men. It sort of, the composition changed over the 10 years, but it was mostly men. And I obviously have a lot of meetings and cases and conferences and things with all kinds of other law firms in the D.C. area. And I remember one meeting in particular in 2014 where I accidentally showed up half an hour early. I got the time wrong. And it's at a pretty large local firm, one of those, you know, really fancy, like, marble hallways and all glass, very modern kind of layouts. And I was in the waiting room for quite a long time, and I was chatting with the receptionist who I'd been interacting with for like 10 years, and she was a woman. And you could see in all the conference rooms because they were all glass. And I could see in six conference rooms with six meetings going on, what appeared to be all lawyers, and it was all older, older men. And then in one room, I saw one woman, and I actually commented to the receptionist. I said, "Oh, wow, there's a lot of men here." And I said, "Oh, well, there's one woman in the corner over there." And she said, "Oh, she's the guy next to her. That's his secretary." So I that was the first time that I really started to think about the fact that most of the firms all around me seem to be primarily male-dominated in the leadership roles. And I started to think about how cool it would be just to start my own firm, and that I really do think it's important to have women in leadership roles, you know, even public and privately. So that was part of it. Another was that I was already at one of the leading firms for 10 years, and I was a partner there. And so I started practicing when I was 24, and I didn't really feel like there was any other place for me to go there. I mean, I was already there for so long that I just wanted a challenge of having my own firm with no partners, which is definitely less of a safety net, but I saw it as a personal challenge, so that was interesting to me.
I love that. So what did you see or notice at the beginning of your career, or when you were starting out, even with your new firm? Was there anything that you found as a challenge as a woman, or just in general in starting a new firm?
So there are obviously a lot of challenges associated with starting your own firm. I would say, specifically as a woman, I'm married and I have a child, and many of the people that I interacted with, primarily men, assumed that I was starting my own firm because I wanted to spend more time with my family and wanted a more flexible schedule, which is definitely sometimes a benefit, and sometimes it's the opposite, because I have less people to, you know, I don't have partners to rely
right.
on if needed. So, but, you know, a lot of the men in particular just assumed I wanted to work less, and that's why I did it. And in reality, it's great I don't have anybody to report to, but the buck stops with me. So sometimes I don't have flexibility. I think that that's not true of a man that starts their own firm. Nobody assumes that they start their own firm because they want to work less. and I've actually talked to other men about that as well. And I talked to one male attorney in particular that he did step back from his job to take a primary parenting role, so that his wife could take a more demanding job, but everybody, you know, nobody thought that that was why he made his move. So I thought that was interesting. In terms of just starting my own firm in general, what are the challenges? I mean, I think, you know, you have to obviously, when you have a family and a child, you have to juggle all those demands. And there were several months where I would be at my other firm and was preparing to start to open the doors of my firm. And so I would be doing my day job and taking care of all my clients during the day, taking care of my daughter in the evening. And then from 9 to 12 p.m. every night, I was doing the work that I needed to do to open the doors of Markham Law Firm. So that was definitely a challenge. It took time, and I needed a supportive spouse and a supportive family when needed to help me pick up the slack. And I think if I hadn't had those things, it would have been more difficult. And I have also spoken to other people that are interested in starting their own firm, because a lot of people have asked me about my experiences. I mean, basically weekly or every other week, people ask me how I did it. They ask me for advice. And I think it can be more difficult for people in a way that are unmarried because they feel like, you know, everyone's very scared about starting their own business and worried about the income that they're going to have. And at least I knew that we had one very stable income in the family, even if I brought in nothing, which thank goodness was never the case. But it was a comfort to know that we had one steady income in the family no matter what happened to my firm.
I love that. Now, Jessica, when it comes to the courtroom, I've talked with other female attorneys who, you know, some say they feel no challenge or no sexism at all, and then others are constantly bombarded by, you know, the old boys club kind of feel, both from judges and other attorneys. Do you ever get that sense when you're practicing in your areas?
I do think... So, again, I live in a very, very progressive area where there are a lot of female attorneys. I don't have to deal with any of the things that I've heard of in other places, like the women have to wear, you know, can't wear pants or, you know, things like that. I've heard of women kind of getting in trouble in their courtrooms when they didn't wear pantyhose with their skirt suit. You know, I don't have to deal with things like that. But... I do primarily litigation, and what goes along with that is, you know, a certain toughness in the courtroom and a certain toughness negotiating and that type of thing. I think we're always kind of looking for women to smile and be nice, and then if you don't smile and be nice, then that's, you know, gives a really negative impression, and it's not always possible in this line of work to always be smiling and be nice. I mean, I'm always courteous and professional and civil, but I don't always necessarily have to have a smile on my face. It's not what the client is paying me for. So I think we always have to, women have to be a little bit more concerned about being judged in that way, whereas I don't think men always do. I think a male attorney that's litigating a case, you know, nobody's expecting him to be smiling all day long, but somehow women have this double standard. The only other challenge I think as a woman litigating a case that I've had is when I was nursing and I had to stop every couple hours to pump breast milk. So that was something that I had to deal with that men don't have to deal with. And I tried to just be totally forthcoming and not ashamed of it, and it is what it is. And I told many a male judge and male opposing counsel that I have to pump breast milk, and it is what it is. So mostly that was just a... using up my time, whereas men were probably going out and getting a bite to eat. So.
Right. Having a smoke or a drink, right?
Yeah.
Right. I love that. Oh, my goodness, yes. As a mother, I can relate, for sure. Jessica, what do you think were some of maybe the mistakes that you made early on in your career that you could warn others who are maybe just starting out about?
That's a great question. I mean, I don't know if I tend to look back with rose-colored glasses or what. I can't really think of any major mistakes per se because, you know, there have been – well, let me put it this way. I would say the early years I stressed quite a bit and more than I do now, whereas when I was practicing as an associate, at least I had somebody else sort of checking my work and helping me along the way. So you would think I would be more stressed and worried now. But in the early years, I really lost a lot of sleep worrying about my cases. To some extent, I think that's healthy because some attorneys, I think, don't understand the gravity of the fact that they really have somebody's livelihood and family in their hands, and maybe they don't take it seriously and don't stress enough. But, you know, my mentor told me early on that it would take at least 5 years of litigating to feel like I knew what I was doing and at least 10 years to feel like I was good at it. And I think that was completely true. And so I would say I spent the first 5 years with a lot of sleepless nights and worrying about mistakes that I could be making and things that I could do better. And I probably spent a little too much energy worrying about that. In terms of career mistakes, I think I was really fortunate to be in a good firm, and I worked as hard as I could and did as much continuing legal education as I could. So I can't really look back and say there's anything I would change. But I think to some extent, when I saw myself, when I compared myself to my peers, you know, when I first started out, I wasn't married, I didn't have children, and I didn't really have any obligations to anyone but myself. So I put in a lot of hours of work, and I spent a lot of extra time educating myself that I didn't have to do, because I wanted to know as much as I could, as quickly as I could, so I didn't feel like, you know, I've only been practicing 1 year, so therefore I'm the dumbest lawyer in the courtroom. You know what I mean? I wanted to eat up as much information as I could, so I wasn't clueless by comparison. I mean, most of the attorneys that I interact with and interacted with on a daily basis are in their 50s or 60s, and so I just didn't want to feel like the clueless one. So I just went, I think, above and beyond to try and educate myself. I took a few courses at the community college. I did every CLE I could get my hands on. I read books. I mean, to this day, there was one book that I read in probably 2007, and I had the time, and I still recommend the book to people, and people, you know, just with respect to retirement accounts and things like that, that I've sort of become known for as being my specialty. And people say, how do you know that? How did you know that? Where did you learn that? And I go, I just bought a book and I read it. You know what I mean? It's like no secret. It's nothing that anybody else couldn't have done, you know. It wasn't any kind of wizardry. You know, I can give you the same book and you're going to learn all the same stuff. So I think I've seen a lot of people that didn't sort of bother to go get that book or take that extra class. And I think just by doing those really easy things that anybody could do, then I've really benefited from those things.
And Jessica, what do you think are the biggest factors that have made you a successful attorney, female or not, and that has made your firm this successful?
You know, it's interesting because when I started out, my husband has a background, he's an MBA, and he's actually had some marketing and business background, whereas I have no training in that. And he asked me right away, how's your firm going to be different from all the other firms? And I realized that the Bar Association in our local jurisdiction has over 500 attorneys that identify themselves as practicing family law. And so I really thought about a lot, you know, how is my firm going to be different? And, you know, one way, like I said, I really, really try and put a lot of emphasis on education. And so anybody that wants to go to any class here, I am more than willing to pay for that. I do trainings. Everybody does trainings together. Every month we do webinars. We watch them in the conference room on the big screen and order pizza. We talk about it. I try and make everything. I mean, certainly I don't know everything about family law, and so I always want to keep my education going and try and make sure that whenever I have an interesting case or interesting fact pattern or interesting, you know, legal issue, I try and talk about it with everybody, and everybody kind of shares their issues with each other so we can all continue to learn. So, you know, I think that we have a lot of experience and a lot of sophisticated family law issues that some other firms don't, and so we do get a lot of very tough cases, complex litigation, and we get referrals from other attorneys that have very complex cases. and they want somebody to aggressively represent them who's encountered these kinds of legal issues before that isn't going to charge $700, $800 an hour. So I think our prices are, you know, they're not the lowest, but they're also not the highest. I try and keep them fairly reasonable as compared to, you know, our level of education, experience, and what we have to offer. And I have some online reviews, and I think that the common denominator is that all the clients feel that they're being taken care of and that we actually care about their case. And so that's really important to me, that all of us be extremely responsive to our clients, because they're going through unbelievably difficult times. And so even if I can't get back to somebody the same day, I make sure somebody gets back to them. Or I was out sick yesterday, so I made sure that my office contacted people that might be expecting to hear from me and let them know that they wouldn't hear from me yesterday, they'd hear from me today. So I think it's really important to give people that level of customer service and be responsive to them in what's most likely a very difficult time in their lives.
Are there any final words of wisdom that you might share with other attorneys, specifically, you know, young women who are starting out or maybe already have a firm that they're just, you know, maybe not quite where they want to be?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I've read a lot of things that I find extremely interesting about male communication styles and female communication styles. And I read this interesting article about, you know, and I'm probably going to misquote it in some way, but something about men typically overestimate their level of knowledge or competency in an issue, and women typically do the opposite. They rate themselves lower, and they have sort of lower expectations for themselves. And so I think that there are a lot of women that might say, oh, I can't do that, you know, whereas maybe a similarly situated man would say, I could do that. I'm going to give that a try. So I'm going to say, you know, particularly to the women, you know, if I can do it, you can do it. Anybody that I know that has started their own firm, I don't know anybody that's regretted it. I mean, certainly it takes a level of planning, and you have to not be averse to risk, I would say, but, you know, don't doubt your aptitude. And be willing to take a risk, I would say. I mean, there are lots of different, I guess, tips I would give if you're starting a firm. I mean, if you want to work for yourself, obviously do your best in the beginning to keep your expenses low and save money where you can. You know, I think a good website is really, really important. And at the end of the day, you still have to believe in yourself and put yourself out there and be willing to take a risk and all those things. But I think that it's worth doing. It's very, very rewarding.
I just want to give a special thanks to you, Jessica. Jessica Markham here of the leading law firm in Maryland and Washington, D.C. Jessica, if someone would like to reach out to you for more information or possibly with their legal matters, what is the best way to do so?
Well, I would encourage them to check out our website. It's markhamlegal.com, M-A-R-K-H-A-M. legal.com, and it has all our information on there. We also have a blog that we update regularly, all our contact information, our Twitter, and my email address, and anybody can find me that way.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate your time today, and this was some great information and insight for young female attorneys or any attorneys out there who are looking to get out there and start their own firms. Thank you so much, Jessica. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tracy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Call 888-225-8594 or email rj@speakeasymarketinginc.com to enhance your reputation and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.